Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful. Glory to God. Bible, we're scriptures we've been going over in this teaching we're talking about the Spirit-led life. There is no other way of a Christian life than the Spirit-led life. Anything other than that is another religion. It's not, a lot of people they say, well, you know, well, the Bible is enough. No, it's not. Why would God give us the Holy Spirit if the Bible was enough? It's not. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, He's the one that's going to guide you and lead you in all the truth. He didn't say the Bible itself. Now, the Holy Spirit leads in line with the Word. But see, you get over into some people, it's all Holy Spirit, and other people, it's all Bible. No, they both go together. I don't know how to work it without both of them. Hallelujah. We need both. Glory to God. Thank God for the Word, but thank God for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Who makes the Word life to us. And so we use the scriptures and from Romans 8:14, which says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And in verse 16 said, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And Proverbs 20:27 says, the Spirit of man's the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. Hallelujah. So God leads and guides us by the Spirit. We have been focusing on the area of the being a spirit being. That's what we are. We are a spirit being. Today we want to start into the area of talking about this, as we know we're a spirit being, but we want to deal with the area concerning the soul of man. It's funny, but and it's not being criticized, but it's very hard with whether it is his songs or teaching or the usage of things. We have things all jumbled together. We do things, we sang a song, Lord, I give you my heart. I'm a Christian. God has my heart. I don't have to give it to him. I already did that. And now my heart's his. So I'm not trying to give God my heart today. God has my heart. I got born again. Now, that's not, but it's very hard. And then he says, well, I give you my soul. Well, yeah, you give God your soul, but you're going to have to do something about that. He ain't going to just go say, Lord, I give you my soul. Good luck, because it's more than Lord, I give you my soul, because it's going to require your effort to do something about your soul. And we were singing, there was other things that we said. One of the songs, it sings about your mind, and then it said your soul. And it's like, see, we got so much stuff. Now, look, that's not, I know this people, wonderful ministries. I mean, just really good ministries. And they have been taught. I know Rhema graduates who have great ministries and great, God moves through them powerfully. But they got spirit and soul all messed up, and they were taught right. And if I asked them to come to this church and teach on that subject, they'd teach it right. But when they walk around, they talk it different. They talk it in another way. And they need to understand, the average person is listening to them. The average Christian listening to them and their usage of it, and people don't know the difference between any of it. They ain't got a clue what it's about. They don't know. And see, if we're going to understand the scriptures, we're going to know what God's talking about. Christians don't know because, terminology gets used. Majority of people say, well, we had a meeting, these meetings, and they had, we had 50 people, 50 souls got saved. There were no 50 souls got saved in that meeting. Now, I hear people doing this all the time. I don't know why they have, no souls got saved. Their spirits got saved. People got born again. Their soul, you don't get your soul saved by accepting Jesus Christ. You gotta do the saving of your own soul. God's given us the means of doing it, but we are the ones that save our own soul. And we want to look at this. We need to understand the importance of the soul and what it is and what our soul, about our soul and the operation of it that we're operating in this earth. If you don't understand it and you don't comprehend what's going on, you're gonna have a hard time making things worse. We are in an intellectual society. And when I talk about intellectual, we're intellectual from the standpoint of the humanistic side. We're intellectual over here. We focus most on the intellectual side. We know very much little about the Spirit. And what we do and today in restoring what we call renewing a mind or change person is mostly all psychological, very little spiritual. You know, I've been around Christian schools already, and they weren't very spiritual at all. Most everything was intellectual and psychological. And see, we need to know this. See, it's one thing. I never expected a school to teach my kids the things of the Spirit. That was my job. We taught our kids about the Spirit and how the Spirit. They learned to see it in operation through us. You know, we need more in talk. See, education in America today is all wind blowing. It's all talk. It's all teaching. Little training. Nobody gets to see how things work. Nobody knows how they work. You know, you don't do things. You know, that isn't, there's no such thing as education without training. There's no, the Bible says train up a child in the way they should go. It don't say teach up a child in the way it should go. Teaching without training, forget it. So one thing is I learned about kids, you don't make them do stuff, they ain't doing it. I learned it with adults. You get to adults where you can't make them do it, you just gotta let them live with it. But, we did today. You know, people don't just all of a sudden become trained. You know, when I went in the military, they didn't just hand you a rifle and say, "We're going to go to war." Yeah, you're going to Vietnam, and they took you out and trained you for what they wanted you to do in that war. Our children are growing up today trainless. They ain't been trained. They don't know nothing about enduring anything or doing something they don't want to do. They don't know a thing about it. Neither do the parents. But they don't know a thing about it. We need to understand. This is all the stuff that's taught. See, my parents, I was trained up as a child. Trained. My parents, there's things we didn't like to do, we had to do them. But we weren't asked. We weren't asked, we were told. See, my parents were, you know, the drill sergeants, and they weren't mean. But they made us do things. And as I grew older, I realized the importance of the things. And I stop and I sit today and say, "My God, I'm glad I ain't raised by most Christian people today." Oh, my God. Because they don't train. We were trained down to little kids. Times we were little kids, we were trained. What you do. You know, we were just spawning out at a restaurant and a little kid, you know, just a little cute little thing, but you just scream out, and the parents just smile. They think, "Oh, it's cute." Hey, when they're 15, they're going to be doing that. You don't smile. You show them displeasure. You don't want them to do it. If you think it's cute, you think it's cute? Wait till everybody has to live with that little monster. And they don't like your kid. And you think, "Oh, that's my cute little child. Ain't cute." You see, you start telling them. You show them things that you don't want them to do. See, our kids didn't go into restaurants and scream and yell and do all that kind of stuff. See, we start training their soul. We don't have soul training today. We start training their soul, what they could do, and we train them at home. Anything your kid does out when they're out in public is what they're allowed to do at home. See, our kids knew that they went out in public, you weren't allowed to. Why? Because you had quiet times at home. You weren't allowed to sit and run around, scream, crawl all over the thing, doing all your stuff. No, something you got to sit down. We'd have times with our kids. It's quiet time. You had to sit down. You read books. You did things with them and stuff. You didn't always just, you know, rambling around doing this and doing that. Because what happened? They grow up. I just do whatever makes me happy and comfortable in life. And then they go to school and poor teachers have to try to deal with these ornery little things running around doing whatever they want because they're allowed to at home. Like a teacher told me one time, she said, you know, she's a first grade teacher. She had done it for years. And she told me this, and this is back some years ago. Years ago, she told me this. She said, "We used to, kids would come into school, first grade, you'd start teaching them certain things." She said, "Now, you don't teach in first grade anymore." She said, "What you're doing is trying to get them not to stand on the top of the desk. You're not trying to get them to do this and do that, how to sit down, be quiet." She said, "You spend the whole year just doing that." Why? Because they don't do it at home. People don't do it at home, so you don't do it at home. Don't expect it. See, hey, this is stuff about we can't. There's a discipline to being led by the Spirit of God. You're never going to do it unless you're disciplined. This is why we're having a terrible time in our society. It's an undisciplined people. They can't be led by the Spirit. They can't. It's impossible because it requires training. It required me a whole lot of training when I started out. To learn to be led by the Spirit. Pick things up in my spirit. I spent huge amounts of times in the Word and in prayer over things, making confessions. I didn't make confessions like just from a faith standpoint. I made confessions of the Word just till I could drill it into me and drill it into me of what the Word says about something. So I would be saying what the Word said about it. So I would get it in my mind to where I could do what it said. You have to do that. See, that's, the Lord told me, He said, I'm going to teach you faith from your military training. You know what my military training was? They take you and make you do stuff over and over, and they make you do it when you don't like to do it. They force you out to do things. You don't get to sleep at nights. You know, Christians talk about, oh, they don't have time to pray, they got to sleep at night in 8 hours. They never gave us 8 hours. They took us out and trained us, woken up, a couple hours sleep, run you out there, a couple hours sleep, trying to kill all of us, these young people. Oh my God, they turned the clock, we're all gonna die. And they did all these things they did to us to train us. And what you got to do, when I went to Vietnam to do certain things, you didn't think twice about it. You instantly did things. You didn't have to think at all about it. You were trained. You were trained to do it. You were like that lion trainer, that guy with the whip and the chair years ago. They used to do it high, and the lion would jump up on the thing. You got to the point. You didn't need a guy with a whip and chair. You just did it. They went over with you with that and kept doing it, kept doing it. That was just the norm. You just did that. You did things. Under combat situations, you just did certain things. You were trained. And see, this is where we got to get today. You have to be like that where you're trained. When times get tough, I know this, the whiner's not trained. The complainer's not trained. Because when things get tough, you ain't got time to whine. You got to get into action. You don't let the devil get through the door and then try to throw him out. You got to learn to kick that door shut on the way in. Nah, we let him get in, run around, cry, moan for 3 months about the thing, yeah, and asking everybody else to pray, lay hands on my empty head, you know, doing all this kind of stuff. That's not the way it works. You just shut the door. When the enemy would come and nom and that stuff, you stood and fight. You didn't turn around and say, I don't want to get in a firefight today, you know, let's go do something else. What do you think? So you get trained. And that's what you have to do. You got to find, to learn to be led by the Spirit, you have the same thing. Because I'm going to tell you what, when you're in the problems and you need to hear from God, there's always loads of noise. Huh. Your flesh is carrying on. See, this is what I found out with people. You don't learn to do this when your flesh is attacked, you can't hear. See, I know the importance of hearing. I've learned over the years, if my flesh gets attacked, my big thing is this, is to shut that down and to hear God, to stop this thing. Now, find out what is going on, what I need to do. Know where you're at in your heart. Know what's going on, what you gotta do. Just making a cute little, some confessions ain't enough. You gotta know what's on the end. Your life's is on the inside. Your flesh got a problem in it. You need to be in contact with your spirit. That's where faith comes from. Faith don't come from your, you know, just cause you want healing don't mean you're gonna get any. We ought to figure that out. Majority of people don't get healed. So it doesn't, we need to understand. You gotta get on the inside. There's being able to hear on the inside. You know, I've told the story when I had my, blood clot in my lung. I wasn't going this way at all, but the Holy Ghost was going this way. My flesh was noisy. I mean, you talk about pain. My flesh is screaming. But there's only one thing that I had on my mind. I need to hear from God. I need to know what's happening and going on here. I need to know. You know, it's one thing you could just make a confession, stand in faith. But see, the first thing I wanted to know, have I missed it somewhere and opened the door to this thing? 99.9% of Spirit-filled Christians never check that out first. Never do it. Why? They know nothing about combat. See, the enemy's coming through. You just don't run and just go do anything. You find out where you need to stop this thing. You see, I knew, and that's why when we finally were at the hospital and we're in the emergency room and I'm sitting there and the doctors and the nurse, they all went out. And I said to Wanda, I said, I got to hear from God. I said, I got to get myself quiet here and I can hear from God. I said, I want to know this. Did I miss it? Did I open the door to anything? This, is there something maybe I need to repent of? Oh my words, Christians would hate to think that they might have something. They've done anything. I thought, is there any way I've missed this? And I sat there and I said, I just got to get quiet. And I had finally got the part where I got the pain under control somewhere I could hear. And I just sat there and inside of me, I just heard this is what I call the still small voice. And I tell you what, when that pain was going and the pain's going, and I tell you, you got to be able to listen. But on inside of me, he said, don't be concerned. Everything's all right. And man, when I heard that, I knew, okay, I ain't got nothing. I'm okay. My faith can work. Within 20 minutes, I started recovering, and I just recovered to the point where they were turning around trying to figure out what on earth is wrong with him. What had happened here? They were looking for everything but blood. They were checking everything in my body, but where I had the pain in my lung. That the last place they checked was finally my lung, and found out that, oh, you had a blood clot in your lungs. I would have thought you'd have figured out something was going on. But anyhow, I'm clear. Once I know, see, I got to know that. You have to learn to do that with your faith. Is there anything, Lord? Is there anything I need? Did I miss it anywhere? See, let's say we just jump to the faith and the confession and say, get somebody to pray. Get somebody to do this. Now, we're in a battle, man. We're in a war. Now, I want to know if my gun's loaded. I'm not into this big thing making confessions with an unloaded gun. All loads of Christians, all they got is blanks. That's all they ever shoot is blanks. No, I don't want to know. My heart lets go. It's going to be a bang. That's what you have to know. And see, get yourself. And this, hey, we aren't off the subject of dealing with your soul, because this is the battle. It's your soul. It's what's going on. Let me just say this to you. Your soul is the tie between your spirit and your body. And that soul is going to determine what it gets in your spirit or out of your spirit, or whatever comes out of your body into your soul, or and your soul gets to be able to put in your body. That's what determines it. Your soul is hugely important. Your soul. I want to read you some scriptures here. Your soul is important. See, and I learned that fact about my soul. My soul, things ain't said. My faith ain't going to work. See, many people are trying, their soul's messed up and they're making confessions, but their soul's not in it. They're tied in this place. You know, they're just saying things by rote. It's not power out of their spirit. We want to get over to where we can deal with this thing. Now, in 1 Thessalonians makes this, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I'm going to read that scripture to you, then I'm going to read Hebrews 4:12. But first, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Makes mention here, your whole spirit, your soul, and your body are to be preserved blameless. If you look up the basis of that word, preserved means to keep an eye on. You need to keep an eye on your spirit, soul, and body. See, we don't, this is a lifestyle of living, keeping your eye. In other words, keep a watch on that. Keep a watch on your spirit, soul, and body. Why? So you can preserve it blameless. Because you don't see, people don't keep their body, an eye on their body, and their flesh is doing all kinds of stuff it shouldn't be doing. Their soul is all messed up because they don't keep an eye on what they think, what they hear. Jesus said, be careful what you hear. That's what Jesus said. You can't sit around and listen to everything. You can't listen to all this junk all the time. You can't listen to this nonsense. You got to know what you're putting into you. This is hugely important. People are not paying attention. And I know that because of what comes out of mouths. You know, we've learned this among the spirit-filled people. We've learned this. We learned when we get around people of so-called faith, we know how to talk, but when we don't talk the same way when we're not around each other. We're around other people. We're saying others junk. Oh yeah. I always love it. I don't ever tell people I'm a minister. I always love it. Get around people. I'm telling them I'm a Christian. I get around Christians and I listen to them sit and talk a while. And then I tell them I'm a minister. Oh my God. You want to see a choke up in a room. It's like, oh my God. We've just been running at the mouth. Like, see, they know how to talk. But all of a sudden, the whole talk in the room changes. It's all that fake Christianity. It's not real to people. It's not real to have a lifestyle the way you talk. See, then they'll come along and they'll want to make a confession of so-called faith and it won't work. I don't understand. I understand completely why it don't work. It ain't a switch we turn on and off anytime we want to and this thing works. you know. You can't put water in your engine block instead of oil and expect that thing to be running. It's like, this is what people do. They have a mixture. They have a little bit of oil, water, you know, you got a crack block and you're putting water in there. And I don't understand why it don't run right. I don't understand why my confession don't work good. I talk crazy most of the time and then I have this good confession side over here. And they got this dirty water is what they got. They got dirty water and they're trying to drink it and it's killing them. This is good stuff, folks. Good preaching. But your whole spirit, soul, and body, so keep an eye on it. Listen what 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this. Hebrews 4:12. This is something we want to look at here. We're going to start because he says, for the word of God is living and it's powerful. The word is living and it's powerful. And how wonderful it is that this living and word that we have the Holy Spirit within us who's the teacher who will turn around and give us revelation of this word. He'll inspire us by the word. So the word's powerful. It's sharper, it says, than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division. Now it says this, even to the division. It'll go as far as this, the word of God. It says the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. And its discerner is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you know the word of God lets you know what's going on in your spirit? This is what most Christians don't even know what they are spiritually. And I'm sorry, most spirit-filled Christians don't know themselves. They don't know themselves. No more than you know the word than you know what you're really like. It's, what does it say? It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of heart, your heart. The word does. What are the thoughts and intents of your heart? What's going on in it? So you want to know. That's a place of faith. That's the initiation of faith. And the word of God is so powerful, he says it can divide soul and spirit, joint and marrow. In other words, it can divide the soul, the spirit, and body. It's what it does. The word has the ability to divide the two because, in a sense, it's hard to divide, naturally speaking, the word of God to the soul and the spirit for most people. And I know that that's true because I can look and get people articles, books. I can pull out all Christian articles and books, and they just interchange all this all the time. They don't know. They don't know the average Christian. It's never divided. They don't know the division of it. They don't know it. They don't know whether it's their heart. Many Christians have a soul problem. We sing, you know, the church sings about heart problems. We need our heart healed. We don't need your heart healed. You need your soul renewed is what you need. Your problem, but you know what? They're functioning, walking around talking about their heart as if something's wrong with my heart. When there ain't nothing wrong with the heart, it's the soul area. And the flesh is where... But people, they got all interchanged, saying all this stuff, talking all these things. Why? Because they don't go to the Word. The Word divides the difference between them, and you need to understand. When you're talking against your own heart, you're in trouble. You can't talk against your own heart and then turn around and make a confession and think some faith's going to do something. That's not going to happen. Faith. It's of the heart. It's of the inner man. You got to know what's your inner man. What's the thoughts and intents down here on the inside? See, it's called your conscience. You learn to listen to your conscience. You need the Word of God to do that. Learn to listen to your conscience. The thoughts and intents. Your spirit wants to follow God. That's what, you're born again. Your spirit wants to follow God. That's what it does. That's it. That's what it wants to do. And so you need to become convinced of that. Much in the church world today, people make statements about their heart and that stuff. Well, you know, their heart ain't right. No, they're dealing. They're dealing with a person. They're dealing with either living in the flesh or they don't have a renewed mind. That's what their problem is. But they'll say, oh, their heart ain't right because they're doing wrong. Say, well, their heart ain't right. But see, we got so used to saying that stuff. We believe that knucklehead stuff is true. And no wonder the church can't operate because they can't divide between what's going on. Ain't nothing wrong with my heart. It's my head and my flesh. It's what's going on. I shouldn't use the term head because one of the things you need to understand is your brain is not your mind. You've been educated by doctors and everybody else that don't know nothing. When it comes to these things, they haven't got a clue. Psychology doesn't have a clue. Psychology come to the place where they say, well, they talk a subconscious mind. There's no such a thing as a subconscious mind. What they found out, there's something down there past to pass the intellect. We know what it is. A mind is called a spirit. You don't go to a psychologist and they talk to you about your spirit. Unless they're born again, spirit-filled, would know and understand that. And there's not many of those out there. And most people you go to counseling for is all psychological, even if it's Christian. It's psychological. They don't deal with the spirit of man, the enlightenment of a man's spirit. You know, people get born again, they get out into sin, they get out into areas, they get, and even with things, a demonic oppression comes along in them. And the first thing they'll do is they'll, you know, church will either go one way or the other, try to get the person, there's something wrong with their heart or something. There ain't nothing wrong with their heart, they're born again. What happens is their soul's messed up. See, a person can get obsessed in their mind by demonic power. They can get obsessed into a way of thinking. Do you ever run into people that are obsessed? They can be a Christian and be obsessed. The spirit, they don't know demon in their spirit. They're not, they're a Christian. They're a born again Christian. But they get over in a way of thinking and they open up a door for a demon to start to oppress them in a way of thinking. And after a while, see, we have a lot of demonic oppression today going on. And we have all these things that we think political will change it and everything. Oh, people are obsessed into ways of thinking. And it ain't good. Christians get obsessed into ways of thinking. You know, I know a guy, he told me a guy got into homosexuality. He was a Christian, got into homosexuality. But going to a church, and I know the guy they got him to minister to, and he said to me, I don't understand how a person could even get over it. And I thought, they have you counseling this guy. I thought, what they need to do is put you asleep. You can't figure out how to... See, we don't have teaching on dividing soul and spirit. People don't know the difference. Everything's jumbled in the same bag, shook up, dumped out, and it's all the same. See, your brain is an organ in your body that your soul operates through. Now, we know this fact, and we're going to prove it by Scripture. See, they get in there and they check the brain and they find that the brain, but they don't know nothing about how the soul operates. This brain, when you die, your soul don't die. You know your soul's eternal? Your soul's eternal. Your spirit's eternal, but so is your soul, and we'll prove it from a standpoint of Scripture. The day that you die or Jesus comes, getting a new body is not going to change your soul. Your soul is going to be exactly the same way it in thinking. However you trained it, that's the way it's going to be thinking when Jesus comes. You don't go to heaven and think any different. You know, you're like Jesse Duplantis when he was caught up to heaven. I could see that the things that he said and his belief. Jesus tried to talk to him about tell the people I'm coming back soon. He didn't get it. Jesus kept having to tell him. Why? He had a way of thinking. See, it didn't change because he went to heaven. You got to be taught. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to be taught. You're going to sit. You know, nobody's going to miss them. Nobody's going to be missing the classes. You know, you're not going to be doing something else, you know, in another day and you're, you know. You're going to sit and listen, teach it. We don't have that. You can't train the church today because nobody will sit and listen. Because I guarantee you, the people sit home and say, well, we listen to stuff at home or watch on TV. I'll get together up moving around 70 different things they're doing. Their mind's not stuck on anything at all. Biggest liars there are on the face of the earth. And, you know, don't call me when you get sick. Listen online. Nothing about discipline. See, I've learned. The Lord told me this. He said, if a person's unwilling to come and sit and listen to your teaching, they don't respect the anointing on you. He said, don't bother counseling and doing stuff. They ain't going to pay no attention to it anyhow. Well, that shoots all this stuff out here people run around doing, calling it ministry. If you can't get people to teach them to learn, that's like I said, you know, a kid, you know, you're just going to watch online and we can't tell what you're doing at home. And you know, hey, you'll be a brain surgeon one day. Say, yep, bro, when I get sick, I want to go to him. I want the guy with the online degree. Give me the online degree. That's the guy I'm looking for. Yep, this is going to work good. See, there's a discipline. There's a discipline about taking the setting assignment. You know what? You have to do things sometimes. You will never train your soul without getting your soul to the point where you make yourself stop doing something and go sit down. Put yourself under someone else's control. Now I'm going to tell you how important it is. Jesus said, Jesus determines whether or not you're faithful by what you do with somebody else's. Were you faithful to somebody else? Other people's? Were you? See, a load of spirit-filled Christians ain't going nowhere in Christianity because they're unfaithful Christians. Church is just something you can have. Come and sit down to class. No, I want to do it like the rest of America do it. You know, just as I feel like it's okay. And I just, but hey, give me the trophy. I want the blessing. Give me the blessing. I want all the stuff. Yeah, have it. Don't work that way. It takes discipline. I don't know why I got it. I mean, just when Kenneth Hagin, I listened to him teach. I just got it in my mind I was going to have to do what he did if I wanted to get where he was at. Well, that's what you have to do, but not today. See, we're taught today you can arrive at a great place of spirituality without discipline. The army didn't turn around and give me a gun and send me home and said, war starts, we'll call you. When you're ready to go to Vietnam, we'll send you a plane ticket. That's the church today. That's the Christian church today. That's it is. The Christian church is an undisciplined people. Now, this is not popular subject. Because see, this has all to do with the soul. This has to do with the soul. This has to do with the renewing of the mind. Changing. See, we can't, our culture, we have so many things. We look at all this political stuff and say, that's what's wrong with our nation. That's not what's wrong with our nation. It's an unrenewed mind in the church. The church don't have the strength to blow its own nose. It don't have the strength. It wants miracles with no power. Well, let's just keep praying until God moves. Let's just keep praying until God comes in spite of us. Why wouldn't we pray until God comes because of us? God ain't going to hand Christians. He ain't going to manifest through people who aren't into the thing. He ain't going to do miracles through people playing church. You don't give guns to babies. My words. I understood why they ran us through a lot of the training they did even before they gave us weapons in the service. Because of some of the guys, when you saw how dumb they were, dear Lord, don't give them a gun. You want them trained first. Because, you know, they don't, oh, this is cool, put a bullet in it. We make them hunters today. So, anyhow, but... But people ain't got no training. The people aren't undisciplined, not doing things. It's one of the things. See, I didn't have any trouble in the army. I didn't have any trouble with going and discipline and doing stuff because I had two drill sergeants at home. See, that taught me that you listen to authority, you obey. Because you don't, they're going to find your body in another county. And it won't be hidden. It'll be exposed for everybody to see what happens when you don't listen to me. Put the fear of God in some people. You know, sort of one of the things, we had a big family. You just shoot one of them, let the rest see it. Everybody else gets, okay, all right, hey, we're good now. We're not going to do that. All right, we're cool. Next time Dad says no, that's all it took. Oh, my. It's good preaching anyhow. But there needs to be a division between the soul and the spirit. There needs to be that dividing. And this is where it comes down, is learning to divide the word, listen to the study of the word, the teaching of the words, till you learn to know yourself. You need to know your spirit and your soul and your body. You need to know what's what. This is one thing that I find, see, is people come along, and I've watched this over the years. It isn't something that's just started or things. I watch people when I came in the kingdom who didn't develop. And what they was, they wouldn't know if they were in faith, they wouldn't know this, they were always wondering, well, what's going on or what's happening. They don't know, cause they don't know, they hadn't got the point where they could divide between the two. They didn't know if what they were hearing was God or what wasn't. They didn't know. And so people weren't developing. That's one of the things that I was so thankful of, listening to Kenneth Hagin, learning how to be led by the Spirit, but also dealing with the areas of training the human spirit, how to train your spirit, And you want to learn that is in the training of your spirit, because you want to get what's in your spirit into your soul. See, the world's teaching, and the devil operates from the outside. He operates through the flesh to try to get to your mind. See, the soul, if Satan could dominate your soul, you ain't going to, it don't matter, your spirit, you ain't going to do nothing. We need to understand, because see, what will happen, the flesh will dominate and rule. The flesh will be running the show. The senses and the emotions of an unrenewed mind are going to dominate everything. See, you find this out. Did you ever around a person who, and I'm say Christian. I've been around Christians already, and an emergency or something happens, and they're berserk. They're like, oh my God, what are you, oh, they're all just going crazy. See, the first thing I learned to do is training. See, in training, the first thing you learn, if you're going to succeed, is when an emergency comes, don't start doing a bunch of things and get noisy. You need to hear from God. I have never had one time in my entire Christian walk where something came up that was emergency that God didn't speak to me and tell me something. But I never had one time that I didn't stop to listen. See, everybody wants to do something. I had my daughter, young daughter one time. You know, everybody thinks they have to do something. They gotta do something. So see, first hearing God. When my youngest daughter, she was just a little kid. I've told this story before. We had been away in motor home and we were away on vacation. We got back home. I pulled up behind our place in an alley and I just wanted to get stuff out of the motor home and then so I could take the motor home and go park it and stuff. So I wanted to get stuff into the house. And I got them rushing around to get the stuff out of there. You know, you drove a long distance. You want to get all this stuff done and you get into the flesh. There you go. You want to get, so what happens is you have people running around doing things too quickly. You know, I know none of you have ever done anything like that. But anyhow, she fell on the sidewalk and slapped her chin on the sidewalk and split her chin wide open. Just split it. See, you want to hear from God. When she fell, immediately my conscience bothered me. Immediately. I knew I was at fault. I knew it. I didn't go tell the kid, what's wrong with you? Dad is here for it. No, Dad had rushing around. So you got to listen to your conscience. You wouldn't do a lot of things that you do if you'd listen to your conscience. Get over it. We've all missed these things. But I just, right away, my conscience, and I went down. This was split. I mean, it was split open to the bone. You know, it was split. But you know, God in His kindness and mercy, but I just knew in my spirit. See, it's not about her. I know this. I can deal with this thing here. I'm going to deal with this thing here. I can go. I knew in my spirit I could go so far for her sake. I'll tell you, for my sake, I don't know. That's another thing. You do things. Sometimes you do things you're going to pay a price for. You can do all the believing God you want. If you knew to do good and do it not, it's a sin. It's good preaching. You won't hear that from most faith preachers. They won't talk about it. You can go too far. God's told me about it concerning myself on a thing. You go too far. I've had God tell me, you can't have my best. I knew he wasn't doing it. He taught me a good lesson. Ed had to learn a good lesson. See, there's things you've got to learn. Sometimes people cross a line. You've got to stop these things of fixing stuff all the time. Moms and dads, families, always trying to fix things. They never learn nothing. They never learn anything. See, God touched me. This way, I know he loved me. He rebuked me. And he was right doing it. Taught me a wonderful lesson, not to bypass what I knew on the inside. Not to bypass that. See, then listening to the Spirit becomes a very important thing to do. Well, anyhow, I walked down to her and I got her up. I took her out and put my hand, it's bleeding like crazy, but I put my hand and I told that blood, you stop in the name of Jesus, and just like that, the blood stopped. Not bleeding anymore. Well, you know anything. But I know this on the inside, and I said, Lord, I said, I missed it. I said, I just knew. I need to hear from him talk. He wants to talk to me. See, I got out of line. See, if you don't know this about your own spirit, if you can't locate where you are and you'll just go do another confession, no wonder things don't work. And I said to him, I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to take her. He said, down the emergency room and have them sew that up. Now, you know, you can believe, I mean, whatever you want to believe, you can go through it, but I knew this. But then he said to me, he said, you set this thing in motion. And see, my daughter's paying a penalty. She's having a problem because of her daddy. See, she's under my authority. She's a little kid. Get over this. You've caused your kids some problems sometimes. I've caused my kids some problems sometimes, and so did you. Get over it. Because of not listening to your spirit. And you may pay for things down the road by keep doing that. Dearly. So I said, Lord, I said, okay, I'll do that. So I just stopped everything, put her in the car, Wanda herself, and I said to her on the way down, I said, honey, I said, I want you to know this. I said, the devil didn't do this to you. I said, your daddy did this to you. I said, I have you rushing around and doing this, and I just want to tell you, I'm sorry. I was the cause of this. So you got to humble yourself. People don't. We have a haughty church world today. People don't humble themselves. I told my daughter, this is my problem. I let this go. I did this. And she was in the back seat of the car, and those were the days they weren't, you know, as much as a seatbelt thing, you know. And she reached up over to Hubby. She said, oh, Dad, I love you. You know, she's being nice to me, to the fool. But we went down there, and I believed God she was going to. And she had a recovery, though. It was so good. We just believed God for recovery. Because, see, after I repented, see, I'm clear now. See, I confess my sin. This is what many people do. You know, they sin and ask God to forgive them, but they don't ever ask the person who they did it to. I wonder why things don't change. See, I wanted my daughter to have something better than I set in motion. So I believe for her for a great recovery. Well, they said that she hit so hard that they thought maybe the bone might, her jaw might be cracked. But they did an x-ray and found out it wasn't, which we were glad, but she really nailed it. And anyhow, so they sewed that up and they told us all this, she was going to have trials, she's going to be really sore in her mouth. Now I'm going to tell you God's grace in her. This, God is so darn good. She never had a bit of pain from that thing at all. She could talk and move her mouth and everything on there like nothing ever happened. Oh, she had all these stitches in there and still, she can talk and do something. No pain whatsoever. You talk about a good God. See, but I learned to operate down my spirit. See, you set things. Don't do it and find out what happens. Just keep going by things. Find out what happens. This is why, see, I've learned over time, there's things that I can do to hinder God to move. And it's dealing in the areas of my soul because, see, my heart inside here, the Holy Ghost is living inside of me. He is in communion with my spirit. Anything that I need to know or need to understand, He's willing to teach me and guide me. I need to come in contact in there because that's God on the inside. Jesus personally isn't living in you. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father on the throne. Having Jesus is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you. It's just like having Jesus. He does everything that Jesus would do if He was in the earth. That's what He does. And you gotta learn to listen to Him. You gotta be hooked with Him. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit need to be in communion with one another. And He'll show you and tell you. If you're out of line, He'll tell you. There's things, see, I got out of line. See what, I got out of line? I didn't get out of line in my spirit. If I was out of line in my spirit, my conscience would never bother me when she fell. My spirit knew what to do was right. It was my soul. I'm operating, instead of letting my soul paying attention, I allowed my flesh to dominate my soul. Hurry up, get this thing. We got to get all this stuff out here. I go park this car and all this stuff. You know, you got to get this van, you know, motorhome moved here. We got to do this. And, you know, that caused the problem. We're dealing with a soul problem. See, this is the importance of dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow, the body. What's the difference? What's the functions? What do I do? See, your brain isn't your soul. Your brain is nothing. When you die, your brain is dead. It's like any other organ in the body. You don't lose your mind because your brain died. You just lose your mind if you go to college today. They'll help you lose your mind. But see, we're all this function when the Bible talks mind. You know what most people think of? Brain. See, I'm going to give my mind and my soul. See, there's two terms used. Well, what? The mind and the soul? They just use two things in the Bible. Instead of giving to understand, they shouldn't have been used together into thing because it's confusing. Because your mind is part of your soul. The Bible says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You don't say be renewed in the spirit of your brain. You don't say that. God made man. You know, man's a triune being. God is triune being in the same manner. God is a triune. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're triune. The whole thing of it is, we're dealing today with a born-again spirit, but we're dealing with a flesh that's dead in sin. Your flesh is dead in sin. It must be changed. You need a new flesh. You need a new one. See, you won't have problems when you get to heaven because you won't have problems attending meetings in heaven to learn something because you won't have the dead flesh you have right now. You know, some Christians are going to get to heaven and not have a bit of reward, have nothing. They'll get to heaven, thank God, but they're going to have no reward. Reward in heaven is about eternal. It ain't something you make up. Well, you know, now we'll get it all made up. Now, there's reward people are going to get from being here and walking and following God that no one in eternity will ever get those rewards ever again because they were earned here on this side by people who learn to listen to their spirit and renew their minds with the Word of God. Learn how to keep the flesh under. They learn how to do that. See, we're going to, and this is what we want to follow that. There's a thing here. This is why, you know, I said to the Lord, and I've told the Lord, I want to be able to bring this thing to where you can understand clearly what the soul is. I don't think we spend enough time on dealing about the soul of man and the importance of the soul because it is the tie between the flesh and the spirit. Now, because I've learned this over the years. My flesh gets real noisy. Man, it can dominate even over my soul, my thinking, and after a while I can't hear. Even though my spirit's tied to God and the Holy Spirit's in there, I can't get in touch. See, there's stuff going on. See, today we have all this all these battles online and people talking and saying, people are so noisy saying things that should not be said, should not even be talking. We know little about, you know, I don't even want to hear Republicans talk. I don't want to hear from Trump. I don't want to hear the noise. I need to hear from the inside what to do. I don't need to hear anymore in what they say because they say the same, just blabbling, criticizing, running down both sides. I mean, just a constant babble. Running back and forth. I don't need that. I'm trying to quiet that babble down because why? I need to, the Holy Ghost has things He wants to do and say. I want to be able to come in contact with that. That don't mean people can't talk and say, but there's too much. I mean, this communication, you know, I wanted all the satellites to blow up. I'd be excited. Nobody can get their Facebook and their stuff. Can't get online anymore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. People love the noise. They say they love Jesus. I'm sorry. They love the noise. They love to keep fighting these fights. They love to keep yelling at the other guy. He did wrong. It don't matter. If I can't hear from God, I'm as bad as any sinner. God may consider it worse. Because I'm supposed to be here. See, the noise, the constant, this guy did this and this guy did that and this guy. We can't start pointing out everybody's faults. My God, they'll bring all of ours up. What are we going to do about that? You know, dear God. But see, we have this in this war, this fight is going on. That's not what God intends. Hallelujah. So the spirit and the soul we want to look at. It's sort of easy to tell about the flesh. That's not as hard to figure out. I mean, the flesh, you can always tell in its weakness. It always wants pleasure. It don't want discipline. It doesn't want the things. The flesh, you can find that out in 2 seconds. You know, your flesh. Your flesh has no patience. Did you ever notice that? Patience is not of the flesh. You'll never read that scripture. The flesh never brings patience. the flesh will make you a patient, but flesh is never patient. The flesh wants what it wants now. The flesh wants to be taken care of all the time. See, but that's our society gears for. We are mostly over on the side. Everything's geared to today. The church world went into diet. They went into all, you know, diet, exercise, and all that. And they tried to make that as being a spirituality. The Bible says this, that physical exercise profits little. It says godliness profits to all things. Well, who cares what the Bible says? We're eating the chicken, man. We're eating chicken and fish and don't eat no beef. You know, people getting over into this. People are over into this stuff. The Bible, now it doesn't say exercise is not good for you, but here's one thing. You ever heard about this time? These people are exercising. Guy drops over dead. Well, did it work? You got to have something better. See, we don't have this little, no, I got to have all the right exercise and that. If I get all that right, then I have faith and I can walk around well. Totally unscriptural. Just totally unscriptural. But it's in the church world today and it's full of it. We're eating all the right foods. I've told the story before. I worked with a woman at Reese Candy Company, and she, at that time, the vitamin thing was real big, you know, and they had Shaklee vitamins. And Shaklee vitamins, if you had Shaklee vitamins, I mean, Jesus couldn't even take care of you like Shaklee. Now she's born again and spirit filled, and she is a Shaklee advertisement of taking Shaklee, that's her life. Then she came down with cancer and died. Shaklee couldn't save her. She couldn't get, why? She spent all her time. Shaklee was her God. Shaklee was going, she'd have all kind of, she never built herself in faith in the Word of God, a human. Her faith was in Shaklee. What do you do with that? Never spent time. Didn't spend time dividing his soul and spirit. She just got things over her and filled her mind. She's going to take care of her flesh. Everything was going to work taking a natural thing. There's nothing matter to you. You take vitamins. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to do that, you take vitamins. That's good. But I'm going to tell you, the devil has things. The devil will come and try to kill you with all the right vitamins and things you ever want to have, and he'll show up at your house. You don't get over it. You don't get over there in the faith in that stuff. Your faith's in God. Because there's stuff happens. I don't care. To the best. Things happen. And so we need to learn to walk in line with these things and be careful, because see, that's the flesh dominating over here. That's the flesh ruling. We're going to make everything work through the flesh. No, we're not. It's through the Spirit. Getting in line with the Word of God, bringing our flesh into line, let the same Spirit raise Jesus from the dead work in us. Best vitamin you'll ever take. Hallelujah. You know, there isn't really, I mean, you got to use reasoning. I mean, you go, you know, the Lord told me years ago, he said, I don't have a diet. He said, heaven don't have any diets. He said, heaven only has moderation in all things. That's all it has. So I learned this. Anybody said they got a diet from God, they didn't get a diet from God. The Lord told me, he said, hey, you know what? The scripture's right. We don't find diets in the scripture. Now, they had a way of eating back under the old covenant, but understand, they weren't saved. They didn't have a Spirit of God living in them. It's today, we don't have that. We have today, you have the authority to bless your food. You have the authority. People, Christians sit around, bless their food, and then, well, I've heard Christians say, well, I know I shouldn't be eating this. See, what'd you bother praying for, you moron? You prayed and didn't believe it was going to work anyhow. These people say, I shouldn't eat dessert. No, just don't eat all the desserts. There's nothing wrong. I don't like to be around Christians and these ones that are always telling somebody, well, you shouldn't have this or shouldn't have that. Stay away. I'll go out to dinner. I'm going to buy something just to torment you. I'm going to get 6 desserts and eat them. It's like these people run around, you know. I had a guy one time, you know, and I ordered seafood, and this Christian, I don't think that eating shellfish and that kind of stuff is good for you. I said, well, good. Don't eat it. Just leaves more for me. Thank you. Like, people are just nuts. They're nuts. So you see, the prayer don't work. You can't sanctify shellfish. You can't do that, see. I can't find my Bible yet, but I'm sure there's one written with it in it. I'll get a copy. Somebody will write one. But see, we're talking, these things, what happened? A person gets things into their soul. They get it into their soul. This is what happens. And those things get in there. God has blessing for them in their spirit. In the inner man wants to, the inner man's wanting to bring a truth up. The inner man, spirit wants to bring a truth up. But it's blocked because this person, they've renewed themselves with wrong things. They put wrong things into their mind. And their mind is thinking and won't allow what's in their spirit to come up. They can't get the life. And then what happens? These people get into trouble. Then they try to get life to come up. But therefore, when the life tries to come, it's not in line with the diet. It's not in line with the diet. You know, it's just, I had a minister friend, his wife. It's like a rheumatoid arthritis is called something else. It's very, another type of, very severe. I mean, people die from it. It gets very severe. She had it. And, I knew from his standpoint that he wasn't going to listen. I tried to talk to him. Because they got on this hallelujah diet. What is it? It's a vegetarian diet. That's what it is. So I was going to get to be a vegetarian and I was going to get healed. Well, they put her on the diet. And, I mean, their doctor even told her that the fact that you need protein and you're not, your body's weakening and weakening. Your immune system's not working good. You're not eating protein. You need protein. And they wouldn't listen. No. See, God gave this diet. Well, she died. But see, by not finding out, I was going, see, this guy, wrong teaching, wrong ideas. I knew this. I had prayed about it. You know, I love the people, really. I mean, wonderful people, nice people. I had prayed and prayed about it. I knew there was a demonic problem. It wasn't because of things. You know, see, sometimes people get into, and we need to understand it. Sometimes you don't know why. Some people get oppressed from the standpoint sick-wise. Sometimes it's just an abnormality of the body that needs to be healed. Some people, sometimes, there's demonic things involved. You've got to know the difference. You know, you can turn around and pray all you want for the person, but if that isn't demonic thing, isn't dealt with. You know, Jesus, we can see his healing. Sometimes he cast a demon out of a person. Sometimes he did. Now, we need to understand, a Christian does not, never, no Christian ever has a demon in their spirit. But their body, your body can be oppressed. Sometimes you don't know why. Sometimes it isn't necessarily why. You don't know why. There's one thing that I found out, this. You know, people, they talk about these, you know, they'll say, you know, you have, like, say, down through a family or something, and they, today everything, you know, genetic, and they'll say there's people, like, say, diabetes, and it goes down through the family. Lots of times there's spirits involved in that stuff, and people don't really, see, they walk around and say, well, you know, my mom had this, and, you know, you could have that, and they go down, or my dad had this, and they start doing this stuff, and you need to be very careful about how you talk and what you say about it. You talk yourself into a belief where you can't get well. See, with them, I had prayed about this concerning them, and the Lord told me there's a demon that needs to be dealt with that's oppressing her body. Not her spirit. She's a Christian. She's born again, but she's being oppressed. The Bible talks about, you know, Jesus came to set people free. They're oppressed of the devil because God's with him. People get under oppression. People get under mental oppression. We're demonic powers. They get into a way, they get obsessed with a way of thinking. Demon powers get a hold of people and get them into thinking wrong things. And this is why the Bible says you resist the devil. You got to deal with that devil. You got to do something about that. And we need to know as Christians, see, we don't deal with these things. We have all this stuff over here, you know, on our thinking and from a religious standpoint. And it's just like with him. So I tried to talk to him about a demonic problem. I said, there's something dealing with demonic. He said it couldn't be. We haven't done nothing wrong. I said, the devil come visit you and you ain't doing nothing wrong. I said, read the Bible. Did the devil visit Jesus and he had some great sin, so one day he showed up and he got those temptations? See, Christians have crazy beliefs. That man's soul was messed up in wrong teaching. He had wrong teaching. He believed wrong about the Word and his wife died because of it. Died because of wrong, not understanding. See, not stopping. You know what? If they would have listened to their spirits, they'd have found out. You know what I did? I went and prayed, listened to my spirit. I didn't just sit, pray, God heal her, God heal her, God heal her. I said, what's going on, Lord? What's happening here? I'm going to tell you this. If you don't pray right, you're not going to get the right answers. You can sit down and pray to God about your car, and the problem is your bank account. You keep asking God about the car, He'll talk to you about the car. And see, I knew this. They were never talking to God about what's wrong. They thought they knew what was wrong. I'm not that bright. I need to know from God. You don't need the Holy Spirit if you're that smart. And we've gotten too smart for ourselves. We don't take the time to listen and ask God, God, what's going on? Things never change, and we don't stop and say, God, why is this never changing? What's going on? What's going on if this doesn't change? What's happening? I want to know. You got to do that. You got to get people. Now, I was fortunate. I asked him, the Lord told me what was going on, but I really, when I started talking to him, I realized he wasn't going to listen, and he wasn't going to try to find out either. He was just immediately, I ain't doing nothing about this. You know, this can't be. You know, the devil can't touch us. Well, who took your wife's life? Wasn't God. Who was it? You see, there's real arrogance in the church world about things. We don't use the Holy Spirit as we should, as listening. Our souls get into way of thinking. We don't sit down till we get to be able to divide spirit and soul and body to find out what's working, what's happening here, what's going on. My greatest need is knowing what's going on in my spirit. And I need my soul renewed with that. And my soul needs to understand and cooperate with what's going on in my heart. That's what needs to be done. My number one need is not a great college education. My number one need is to learn how to hear my own spirit and get my soul in line with it. Because I'll tell you what, you can change the world. Kenneth Hagin used to say, he said this years ago when I first got born again, back in 1980, he said, number one thing that Christians need is a renewed mind. Number one. God renews your mind through your spirit. The Holy Spirit don't live in your head, and He don't live in your soul. He lives in your spirit. He's in your spirit, and He communes with your spirit. And if you can't hear your spirit, you can't hear the Holy Spirit. You don't know Jesus. We only know Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You can't know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. Could you possibly? No, it's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness of my spirit. I'm a child of God. See, we bypass these things. And we're dealing with the area here with the soul, we need to get a hold of this fact. See, and get it into our minds, the fact that we are a spirit being. We have a soul, and we live in a body. In this earth, your spirit gets to manifest itself through your soul. They must work together. Other than that, the flesh will dominate. If your soul is tied more to the outside, more to the flesh is going to rule. This is why the soul of a man is so important, because our soul is the tie. Either to bring the flesh under or let the flesh rule. It's going to either way, one way or the other. Either my spirit's going to get to dominate or my flesh is going to get to. That's the way it works, whether we want that or not. But that's the way it works. And the soul's that tie between them. That soul. And you see, the soul over there, this, the mind. See, God, when God gave you a will, He couldn't turn around and make you into a being that you had no will to do what you wanted. He wasn't going to do it. He could have never bought salvation if that's the way. He couldn't have put Satan and sin away with robots. He couldn't do that. He had to do it. He had to do it through mankind. God put man in this earth. There's things I've learned about why God created and did everything the way He did it. Man created man. The things that the Lord has shown me and that stuff, and I go to the Word and I find it, I look at it, and I can be honest about it. I've never heard people preach or teach on it. But yet it's in the Bible. People don't even know why God did salvation the way He did. Why did He? See, I had questions. I thought, God, You had to know all these people were going to go to hell. You had to know that. You couldn't have put man on the earth and not known that people were going to go to hell. You could have not done that. You had to know. Well, see, that way, do you deliberately send people to hell? I wanted to understand this thing. asking questions. I want to know. See, today, God's in control. Anybody that believes God's in control ain't asking any questions, any question worth anything. Because they're just accepted. I want to know how this thing, why does God do what he does? Why? Well, I knew this. You have to go back to the basics, to the beginning of the creation of man to understand why he does what he does. If you don't know that, you don't really understand why he does what he does. It'll make confusing. I think a lot of church world's confused because ministers are very confused. Ministers are just preaching what has been passed on over the years and isn't going to the Word and learning divide soul and spirit, joint marrow. Because the more I divide, the more questions I have to God is why. Because number one, I not need to just know God is good. I need to know how he does good and why he does. And what today, much of what God does is good is called evil. And evil is called good. Why? Because man don't know what God had to do in his setting forth to put sin away forever. And that's what's going to happen. Sin's going to be put away forever. And it's because of the creation of man. When the Lord told me, he said, from the time I was a young Christian, only born again a couple months, and he said, man's my key to put sin away forever. And you know, he only told me about it because I asked him a question about it. I wanted to know, Lord, and I talked to him. I said, Lord, you knew all this stuff was going to turn out. Why did you do what you did? Why? You had to know. You knew the future of everything. You knew before Satan fell that he was going to fall. You knew it. You guys, get a hold of this. When everything is ended in the lake of fire, and the new heaven and new earth, there's a new age coming that has not been before. An age sin will never enter again. There's not going to be ever another fallen angel or another fallen being. That will never happen again. And it was all because of the creation of man. Completely new. Never again will sin enter. Sin, everything that has to do with sin is going to be in the lake of fire forever in torment and punishment. And after that, there's never going to be fallen anything anymore. It'll never happen again because what God did in this little tiny ball set in a universe. And he put human beings down here that think they're so insignificant and God's in control, don't realize they're God's prize.
That's right.
They're God's prize. See, when man can't see that, when man can't see, when man doesn't know and doesn't understand his place in the plan of God, it wasn't an afterthought. He knew Adam would fall. And Satan was the sucker that fell for it. Oh my God. God had a plan. God had a plan. And his plans never change. He loves his man. And salvation for his man is everything. It's what it's all about. Houses, lands, and all that. It's not what it's about. It's about his man spending eternity with him. His man being the one he made. The one who's changed everything. That God stepped into the earth as a man. He didn't step in the earth as God. Man was so important, God became a man. Oh. And the devil was dumb as a stick. He didn't have a clue. He went and messed with him. The first thing he should have done is shut up and went home. He couldn't. Why? God set in front of him the bomb that was going to blow everything up in his kingdom. And he went and lit the match. When he took Jesus to that cross, the sinless one, and he punished one who had no sin. Oh, he did it. He didn't know that Jesus was going to go on that cross with all of our sin. Wasn't his. Oh, my. I'll tell you, I could preach me happy on that one. I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. See, I want us to get across, get clear to ourselves though about this area of dealing with our soul, because what we're going to deal with as we go on in this is in the renewing of our mind and why it's so important. Because understanding your eternity, we're going to look at scripture, we're going to look and see that when a person dies, their soul is completely intact. Their soul and their spirit. See, the word divides But I'm just going to tell you this. There isn't a division between, actual real division between the soul and the spirit. The two are together. It's like having your body and saying, you know, we're going to divide, you know, the liver from the rest of the body, and we're going to literally do it. Well, we'll be burying you. And see, your soul, that part of you, and your spirit, this is why you want to, we want to understand as our spirit man, we have this part of us that manifests really what a person really is. We want it to manifest through the soul. That's what you want to do. The characteristics and quality. You need to say, you're not, we're not, when I came into the kingdom, they were trying to make, Christians cookie cutouts, you know, that everybody had to be identical. You had to have the identical personalities. You know, they started this thing out with what they have five different personalities, and they went through that darn thing and all that stuff. And they told me that I must be insane because they had me take one of those tests and I didn't fit into any category. And you know why? I'll tell you why. I took that test by my spirit. What I really am, they couldn't recognize it. Christians couldn't recognize him. Rhema couldn't recognize me. Why? They're taking what a person is psychologically and trying to tell you that that's what you are because you're psychology. Well, if you have a messed up soul, and you're a this or you're a that. See, we're trying to shove people. We're trying to shove people into things. And we're turning around and say we want gifts in operation. And then we oppress people, telling them, you're a this, you're a that. Now, these supernatural gifts, these things inside of us that manifest out of us. They come out of your spirit. They don't come out of your head. They use psychology to try to tell you what you are and then turn around and try to preach to you that you ought to, you know, you learn your spirit, soul, and body. And so what do? They use psychology on you then. I don't get it. I mean, to me, I just don't understand the stuff anymore. I found out this. I'm a lot happier when I ignore them. They literally, at a church I went to, they did that. I took one of those tests and they said that, I was going to be a little bit insane, you know. And I am. To them, I'm insane. Because they can't classify you. Jesus already classified me. I'm a Christian. I'm a spirit-filled Christian. Walking in the spirit. And you know what? The church don't know it. Much of the church don't know. They don't know the difference. Because why? Most everybody, they're all in the flesh and walking in psychology out here somewhere. And boy, you're weird. What's wrong with you? You're a this or you're a that. See, personally, I think that's oppressive because if you buy that you're in a category, you may not be able to go as far as God wants to take you because you'll go sit in that category. See, that's what the Lord told me when he told me to pastor a church, start a church. I said, God, I ain't a pastor. Why? Now, I was in Bible school and they gave us this book on pastoring. And I read the book and I thought, man, it ain't nothing like, I'm not this guy. I'm not this stuff in here. I don't fit this. You know, this isn't me. I had talks with God about my personality. I said, well, God, how could you choose me for this or that and that? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I know what you are. He said, I know you. And he said, you're exactly what people need to hear. I thought, oh boy. You see, God, but see, if I would have listened to those people of what I was, I would have never moved into it. I'd have never done it because I would have filled my soul with what they said was right and my spirit was telling me something else. You know, well, if you're an A, you're a leader or something like that. Jesus said, if you're a leader, you're a servant of all. Well, the A don't make a servant. But see, people get into all this kind of stuff. We get into this psychology and limit ourselves. What's God called you to do? There are people from ministry gifts have more than one ministry gift. Stand in ministry office. See, you can limit yourself in what you think you are or what God's called you to do. You can limit yourself by natural talent. When God wants to give you something supernatural, I mean, there's people who end up with supernatural talents that they can use in the natural. To do things that have been given by God. There are people over the years that with Azusa Street, what's his name, Seymour? Seymour's wife. In a meeting one time, sat down at a piano, walked up and sat down at a piano and played the piano, just beautifully played the piano. Never had played the piano before in her life, never had done it, touched it. And until the day she died, she could play the piano beautifully. Any song she could hear, she could just play it. Beautifully. She's not the only one. There's other people have done it. There's people and that stuff. Years ago, there was a young girl who started playing piano, just God gave her. She just started playing piano beautifully. Concert pianists would come and listen to her play. She never played before, no lessons. She got from God. She's a young woman. She's spirit-filled and stuff. God told her to go sit down at the piano and play, and she sat down at the piano and started playing, just played the piano beautifully for the rest of her life. There's people, I think, you take in the Old Testament, God gave people, how to make certain things, building the temple, gave people skills. I'm sure those guys probably sit around and thought, well, I'd probably be better at doing this. But God gave them skills. What skills can God give you that could be, that would benefit mankind? All kind of inventions. You ever follow revival? You follow revival, you will find invention follows revival. Read church history. Study church history. When revival comes, there's always invention follows revival. United States had a great healing revival. The space age came. Technology that brought the integrated circuits and all those kind of things came. All those things of technology came. Why? Man starts hooking up with God, he gets wisdom beyond measure. No, the church world today, how can we just keep this thing more closed down? How can we hold this down, not get out there so far? Let's keep ourselves in this nice little box that I can do this. I'm hearing that. See, when you go back at the revivals that started with Luther, came along and revival started, and next thing you know, the move of God came along, printing press, optics, all those things. The wisdom of God to take man is coming out of what's called the Dark Ages. And you know how the Dark Ages got there? It's the same way they got here today, by the church. The Dark Ages start by the church. The church oppressed through the gospel rather than enlightened man through the gospel that people could be something more. Instead, you got to go through our system. If you want to get somewhere, go through our system. That's what we got today. You go through our system. All talent comes from schools. It's no difference in the church world. The church world's identical with it. They're identical with it. They're doing the same thing. You know, if I'm going to go to a Bible school, I would just become more spiritual. Maybe not. You got to learn to listen to the Holy Ghost. People come out of the Bible school I went in, and I'm just shocked at what some of them are doing today. Shocked at what people are doing today. I'm going to tell you, I'm following God. The smartest being in this earth lives in me. I'm not trying to find it. He actually moved into Ed. I mean, just think about it. The smartest being in this entire universe, as far as you can see, you can get in our electron telescopes and look out as far as you want. The most intelligent being lives inside of you. Do you think God sent the Holy Ghost to the earth? He didn't send him to Mars. He didn't send him down here to the earth. And he sent him down there for people just like you and me who would accept Jesus Christ. And this being comes and lives in you for the whole point that you and God can fellowship with each other. You and God can walk hand in hand. That you don't have to wait for the cool of the day to come down to the garden. You can go into the heat of battle and you can walk with him. You can walk with him at any time. Any time you want to walk with him, you can. And he's inside there. And his whole job is to take everything that belongs to Jesus. Now just think about what Jesus is today. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Jesus. The Father God's not running the earth today. Jesus is Lord over the earth today. All authority was given to Jesus Christ of heaven and earth. Jesus is running the show. Jesus, this hair lips those poor people and their little, oh, God wouldn't do that. Yes, God did it. And then worst of all, down here on the earth, Jesus said, you guys can run the show now. I tell you what, the Holy Ghost is going to live in you and He's going to anoint you and be on you. What do you think of that? And the church says, no, that's gone away. No, that's gone away. No, no, they don't do that anymore. No, that was only with the apostles. Oh, no, no, we're back again to slaves and we're not. You have been given the inheritance of Jesus Christ Himself. That's what the scripture says. It don't say you're going to get it one day. You have it. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. Well, you know what they'll say about that? Well, that's just spiritually speaking. That's not. You can tell when somebody doesn't know anything when they say that. That's a good sign. They have air between their ears. That their brain quit functioning a long time ago and there's no renewing in the mind anymore. You have all the inheritance. And in the earth, everything that Jesus inherited gave to the church. Said, here you guys go. Now, I don't know. Maybe you can really understand all that. I can't figure out why He'd have done that. But He did that. And it doesn't matter why He did it. The whole point is that He has done it. And it's faith in He that He has done it, that it is ours, is what will make it successful. It's not debating. It's not debating how many angels can sit on the tip of a pen. People have done stuff like that. I mean, they called theologians. I call it ignorance gone to seed. These people, I mean, anybody give a thought of, I mean, why would you know it's demonic to even have a thought like that to spend any time. Who cares? I don't want to sit on a pen. Don't let me. Don't make me sit on a pen. I'm serious. People have done these things. Theologians have debated this stuff. Read the history. I mean, they're getting, now they don't debate this kind of stuff anymore because now they know nothing. So they don't even have enough sense to ask a question. You folks would not realize how much you know compared to a lot of out here called people ministers and stuff. Just the basic knowledge of the word. So many don't have it anymore. They lost it. It's been lost. But it isn't lost. It would be our fault that it would be lost. It's because it's here. And the Holy Spirit. How terrible it is that people get born again and lose communication with the Holy Spirit. That people get born again and never have had communication. Don't even know it. I've been criticized by ministers because of saying, the Lord spoke to me. Well, God talked to you. Well, I'm going to tell you, if God can't talk, He ain't much of a God. And who wants Him? If He can't tell me anything, who wants Him? You know, go live someplace else. Quit bugging me. Do whatever. But see, we have such ignorance out here. Because people have been renewed their minds with the stuff of the world. Understand who you are and what you are. Don't ever. We have right now, it's one of the big things of they're pushing it. Now, over in the areas of, you know, get your doctorate, like basket ministers. Now they're doing all this stuff. You can get on these online courses, get your doctorate, get your things. And ministries are pushing this stuff. Get your, that don't make you know anything because you go ahead and do all that stuff. See, Jesus would never make it in a church today. He couldn't make it in a church today. Like I said, Kenneth Hagin couldn't get a job in his own ministry today. Because they won't let you unless you got, you know, get in there. You're going to get any leadership place. You got to have a college degree. I know what that's turned into. We didn't understand. We didn't need to understand what's going on in this world. It isn't how bright I am. It's if I can hook up to the one who's the genius. And that's with you. Amen. Don't play their game. Don't play. It'll only demoralize you. It'll make you step down to a lower place than God made you. So they can feel like they're superior. You can hear from God. You can know the will of God. He'll reveal himself to you. He'll take this word and make it so alive to you that, my words, you can't see it. The more and more, I tell you what, I am more stuck on the word today than I've ever been in any period of my life. I used to think I was really stuck on the word, but I'll tell you what. Because it is the only thing to sustain. It's the only wisdom that I can see, that I can look any distance. Anything else comes along, you see 2 feet ahead, and it's darkness beyond. And the word's light all down the path. The word is true. From the time that it's revealed to you till Jesus comes and takes you off, and in eternity, it'll still be the same. It'll still be light and it'll still be life. Hallelujah. It'll what sustains the universe. It's what sustains everything. Hallelujah. God's word will never change about you. He ain't going to get you to heaven and say, well, we're taking inheritance back now. Okay, let you have a good time down there. Good luck. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that we're gonna, he has stuff in store for us we ain't seen yet. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's better than we've seen. No matter how good this shows us, how delighted we get, there's more. There's more we haven't seen. Hallelujah. And that's us. Don't let somebody come along and try to put you in a spot that somehow, you know, we're so bright, you know, you just step aside. We know, it's not like that. Every part of the body's needed. Hallelujah. And when we lose the fact of every child of God is an heir of God. Every child of God has the Holy Spirit in them. Every child. Every child is significant. And see, we've lost that in the church world. That's why Christians can turn around and go along with abortion and all that kind of stuff. Because they've lost it. They've lost. They follow the flesh. They have a soul that's all messed up. And their spirit sits in darkness, not being able to communicate. Their spirit man can't communicate. How sad. We're not going to darken our spirits. We're not locking ours away. Hallelujah. We're letting our spirit come forth and bring God's plans and purposes to pass. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I don't know about you. Hallelujah. I'm just on a thing. If nobody else wants a bright future, I got one. Hallelujah. I want the glory of God. I want the manifestations of God. God is the best. Hallelujah. And He's in you. Hallelujah. Just to, when you called on the name of Jesus, He moved in. Can you imagine God moved in to your spirit? God did. People are trying to get Him in a church service. My God, I mean, give me a break. He done moved in. You're the temple of God. Hallelujah. Go home and look in the mirror and say, you know, you're dorky looking, but you're the temple of God. Inside of you, God lives. God likes you, you dork. God likes you, you idiot. No matter what you've been, God likes you. He likes you so much, He moved in. Hallelujah. He thinks you're glorious. I'll tell you, see, He sees from the inner man out. See, in the inner man, you're glorious. Your spirit is glorious. God never made another one glorious. You're glorious on the inside. And glory, you got light on the inside. Light that shines out of darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I just want to thank you. Father, I pray that these simple things just dawn on us. Hallelujah. The reality of God in us, the hope of glory. God revealing Himself. Lord, if there's anything we need to know, Father, renewing ourselves and our thinking to who we really are and what you've made us. Lord God, you're coming for a glorious church. Lord, there's so much of the church world, people who are glorious, but they don't even know it. They're not taught. And I pray, Lord God, the word goes out. The word goes out in these last days. The great anointing of God moves and man sees the glory that you made man to be. Hallelujah. Father God, as we, just Lord, in our group here, Father, rising up in the light of the glory we were made. Hallelujah. Living in the glory of the inheritance given to us through Christ Jesus. The anointing of God, the authority, hallelujah, that's been given to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, that enlightens upon us more and more. We thank you for all the revelation that we've had and seen. But Lord God, we want that to become a living reality, Lord God. Not something that you write on pages of a book, but something, Lord God, is written upon our lives, that we live it out and walk it out in the glory of it. Hallelujah. Father, because that it's sure worth living. Hallelujah. It is sure worth living. And so we thank you. Father, I thank you today for the anointing to be able to speak the wonderful words. How wonderful it is, Lord God, that you would anoint me to say so much good things about you. Hallelujah. So much wonderful things from your words. Your insight, Lord God. Your mind is incredible. Hallelujah. And you put it in us. You gave us the mind of Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we're going to take advantage of that mind. Let the Holy Spirit reveal it to us, that we're going to walk in it and live in it. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ will be glorified. Jesus Christ will be magnified. Hallelujah. Through His glorious church. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know. I preach me happy today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.